Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. Today is Tuesday, March 24th, 2015, and we've been talking about malt in New York State. We have some experts, Adamo Filippetti from Pioneer Malting upstate, yep. Chris Bala from the Mile End Deli, he's a beverage manager, and Chris Sheehan, who's a great brewer up at Gun Hill Brewing in the Bronx. So welcome to the show. Beer Sessions Radio is brought to you by Union Beer Distributors, supplier of world-class ales and lagers. If you have questions for our guests today, you can live tweet us at beer_sessions. Maggie's there live tweeting, and she'll be taking photos throughout the show. So this is a cool show. We've been waiting for this for a while. You know, we've been talking about the need for malt facilities in New York State. We're going to be joined later in the show by Andrea Stanley, who's calling in from Massachusetts, where they've been malting a lot of New York grains for a few years at Valley Malt. So, Adamo, welcome to the show, man. I know we've sat in on this. There's the governor's New York State New York Craft working group that we've been on. But just tell us how you got into making malt. Give us a little backstory.
Sure, absolutely. I started as a home brewer maybe 15 or 20 years ago. Really malting my own grains in the basement, growing my hops out in the backyard, and that's how it kind of developed into what it is today. So my brother and I actually got into some hobby farming about 6 or 7 years ago on some land that we own, and we started growing malting barley. And in conjunction with another friend locally, we got into malting professionally.
So, like, where are you guys? What town?
We are located in Rochester, New York.
Okay.
Yep.
And what's the name of your company?
It's Pioneer Malting Incorporated.
Pioneer Malting.
That's right.
So, Chris, I mean, you're here, the brewer from Gun Hill. You're buying malt all the time. I mean, have you made any beers with New York State malt?
As a matter of fact, I brought one of them with me. I have the Ruby Rye that I made with malt from Valley. And that was part of the New York Brewers Guild Smash Project, where it was state malts and state hops that were implemented. This actually is the first brew that I've made with 100% New York malts. And I was pleasantly surprised at how well the malts performed and the kind of character I developed in it. In fact, I'm even a little disappointed with the New York hops. The malts have been shining beautifully. The hops mm-hmm. have been a little disappointing.
Well, you know, for many of our listeners, the last couple of years we've been talking about malt, the need for malt facilities. With our event for Beer Week, the New York City Brewers' Choice, the last 2 years, we've collaborated and, you know, different New York brewers have made beers with New York State malt. So there's a little backstory, but, you know, this is the exciting part is that you know, for a couple of years, the only way to get malt locally was from Valley Malt in Massachusetts.
Right.
And now you guys have opened up. So just tell us what you had to go through to open a malt facility. Because we know there's a need for it.
Absolutely. And we saw the need a few years ago when we started getting involved with growing the malting barley. Essentially, we had to allocate some industrial space, and the equipment for the malting process is not something that's just you can pick up on a store shelf. A lot of that is hand-fabricated. We had to do it ourselves. A lot of trial and error, a lot of difficult times pushing through the development of that machinery and how it functions. And so, yeah, it's been quite a road over the past year and a month now.
So you guys are up in Rochester. Where are you getting your grains from?
We have about 7 or 8 contracted farmers who grow for us, some local, some within, I'd say everybody's within about 60 miles of Rochester.
And then Chris was asking earlier, you know, we talk about things like a grain bill and the different varieties of barley and other grains. I mean, what grains are you actually buying and turning into malt?
Sure. We're purchasing a whole variety of grains. Your standard 2-row and 6-row barleys. The 2-row is a little bit more difficult to grow in New York State just because the barley plant in general, very temperamental.
Yeah, susceptible to disease. And
yes, absolutely. So it's right. it's finding the right farmers who know their soil conditions and know the growing process with malting barley, because it's a difficult task. Right. Above and beyond the malting barleys, we source New York State rye. We source wheat, oats, and that's about it. Currently, that's currently what we have on our
all
shelf. All multiple grains. Mm-hmm. Buckwheat would be another one.
Right.
I brought up a smash beer that I did with a local company, the Lost Burrow Brewing Company. So that's 100% of our malt and 100% local hops. And I also brought in a beer that we did with Anthony at Transmitter, which features our base malt and our malted oat.
Well, let's get those. We're going to open those up. And Chris Ball, you're a great beer expert in the city.
Thank you, Jim.
You worked at Beercraft, and you're the beverage manager with the Mile End Group. You know, for you as you're a consumer and an expert, what does malt mean to you? And is there any? We brought some beers today. We're trying to express, what malt is. And I actually put it on Facebook yesterday. I said, "What's an iconic malt profile?" And nobody answered me.
It's kind of mysterious. I feel like I was telling you earlier, I feel like malt is often forgotten, and I feel like I'm a pretty young person as far as the craft beer movement goes, but I feel like, those who got into it maybe 20 years ago, malt was really kind of the most important thing. I feel like it started with malt, when this thing came back around, because we were getting out of, brewing something other than a light lager or all that. But I feel like today, the average craft beer consumer doesn't really think about malt too much, just other than the color of the beer they're drinking. So for me, malt means a lot. I mean, I'm very into malty beers, I drink them all the time. I definitely consider it, but it's still kind of a mystery to me, especially as far as how a malt bill is created for a beer. And just in the same way that, wines are blended with different grapes and different crops of that, I feel like that's sort of the analog in beer, is the use of grain. So,
Chris, what's the first beer you paired for us?
We're drinking, what are we drinking?
Conrad.
This is a Conrad. Meritzen.
It Czech malty lager.
It is malty.
Yeah. But this is, I mean, we have a bunch of old world things in addition to these local beers we're drinking. But I feel like looking at Germany and England is probably the best way to kind of explore the history of, the grain, and, really just looking at beer as this product of a growing season and growing cycle, and like that kind of craft of also just the art of malting barley. So yeah, I'm happy
that
we have all these.
That is an art unto itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So like between Adamo and Chris Sheehan, so this Conrad, it's like a malty lager, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And what in general, if you were making that beer, what kind of malts would you use?
For a Meritzen, typically you would be using Munich malts, a lot of them. In some cases, some brewers might use 100% Munich malt
right.
as base to really build up the character, the malt profile. Sometimes some brewers might throw a little caramel malt in there, but typically that's not traditional. It's ordinarily the emphasis would be on Munich malts, and there are different kinds of Munich malts. It can be darker Munich malts or paler Munich malts.
What about for you, Adama? I mean, you're a home brewery, now you're making malts. Could you make malts in New York State that you could make a beer like this with?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. And we're doing it now. And I think that that's the misconception right now, at least in my head, that that we're not making great beer with New York State grains. And Rochester specifically has exploded onto the scene. And the brewers there are doing a great job in terms of using the grains and making great beers with them. So, yeah, absolutely.
Let's get one of the beers that you brought next.
Yep.
And then, again, you're up in Rochester. You're working with the farmers up there. So let's just say this Amber Martin style, somebody wanted to make that beer.
Mm-hmm.
How would you construct a grain bill? Would you construct a grain bill for them, or would the brewer construct it?
I mean, that's something that we've started with from day one, is our policy or our mission is, malt-to-order batches. So we want the brewers to come to us with specific needs, you know, Chris mentioned Munich's and the various stages that you can get Munich's at. And that's something that we want to offer to our customers, is really unique product that is, you know, you can't get it anywhere else, and you can truly make a unique product for yourself.
And I haven't, unfortunately, I haven't worked with any of your malt yet, but I will be in the future. But with Valley Malt, they had a Vienna malt, which is relatively similar to a Munich malt. And that was one of the ingredients with this rye that I brought along here.
Great. You want to pop that and we'll taste it? We can tell us about your experience with Valley Malt. I also want to point out again, I've brought it on the show a couple of times, there's a great book, Malt, A Practical Guide from Field to Brewhouse by John Mallett. And it's very technical and it's really geared for brewers, I think. And we will have him on the show at some point. But there are a couple of points in here. It just says, like stock creates the base of every great soup, malt provides several key attributes that define beer as we know it, including color, flavor, body, and eventually through fermentation, alcohol. And that's a pretty good introduction. I'm not going to get into the technical stuff, but well, Chris, we were talking earlier, so you said that barley is changing for you over the years. You've been brewing for over 20 years.
Well, yeah, I mean, mainly what I'm talking about is the different types of barley that are being grown by the farmers. I remember back in the 90s and early 90s when I first started working in the trade, it was mainly Clodges and Harrington that were like the dominant strains that were being used now. And, you know, it was funny because I kind of wasn't paying close attention for a few years there, but recently I was reading a crop report on what's going on up in Canada and the North America with the barley crop. And they're talking about all these different strains of barley I'd never even heard of before. So it just shows you how rapidly they're constantly developing new strains, always seeking disease resistance, low protein levels, you know. They're trying to develop the barleys that work best for brewers that are also good for the farmers.
So really, when we're talking about malt, it's like grapes for wine, right?
Yeah,
it's absolutely. And it's about growing and
that's
agriculture.
That's the source of sugar that ultimately makes the beer happen. I mean, without the barley, you don't have beer.
Agreed. You got to talk. I can tell you he's from upstate. He's quiet.
Oh yeah.
I think you really just want to talk about like the repair you did on the something today. So what like typical day up there? And first, Chris, this is great. It's the Ruby Red.
Yeah, it's delicious.
And we're gonna have Andrew Stanley's gonna call in the second segment, and we'll talk more about that beer. But so like, what's your typical day in the malt facility?
Sure. So we're basically a 1-ton malting system. So we're essentially doing 2,000 pounds a batch. So a typical day would involve the steepen process, basically getting, 2,000 pounds of barley underwater, and we're bringing that moisture up, you know, from about 11% what we store it at to about 40-45% over a two-day period. If we're not steeping in, then we're casting grain, meaning we're spreading the grain over onto the floor in a temperature and humidity-controlled environment, and we're starting the germination process. And if we're not casting grain, then we're loading our kilns and we're drying the grains to our customer-specific needs.
And then did you have a hand in building equipment in your facility, or just buy everything outright?
Yeah, unfortunately, the systems that are out there that you can buy outright are, well, they're off the charts in terms of pricing. So this basically was fabricated just from scratch.
And you did everything. So you have other partners. You guys all work at the malt facility?
Currently, yeah, we all have a hand in it. But currently I run the facility on a day-to-day basis.
So what things come up? Like, you know, and you probably know Chris too. I mean, you're getting in.
You
this
want
grain.
The horror stories?
I want to hear them from soup to nuts. What you do?
Well, here's one. You know, one horror story is, you receive a batch of barley from a farmer, and it's not germinating well.
Right.
And so there, that if it's not germinating, then you're not making a malt. You're not making good quality malt. What do you do?
So what do you
throw it in the roaster and make black malt?
That's right. You can roast it. You can bring
or
it
black
down.
Black barley or roasted barley or whatever, something like that.
Yeah. So there's
that's your escape route.
Yeah. Well, there's always, you got to bring the humidity or the moisture content back down.
Right.
It can always go towards, you know, a distilled product if needed.
Right.
Yes. There's always
that. So that's kind of your backup.
Well, you know, I hate to refer to it as a backup because our distillers are always seeking specific, you know, specific malt. I don't like to refer to it that, you know, if you can't use it for beer, well, then you just make a spirit out of it. That's not necessarily true. We have a lot of distillers, some locally here in the Bronx that has specific requirements, and you have to meet those requirements. So for a distiller, that's more towards a higher protein barley,
okay.
Which is not what a brewer would typically want.
Right, definitely.
All right, this is a good show. We're going somewhere talking about Neurig malt. I'm over my head, but I'm learning something. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
In 1996, L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're having a great show. We're drinking beer. We started with a typical malt profile beer, Konrad Ambermertzen from Czech. And now we're digging into some local New York beers with Chris Sheehan from Gun Hill Brewing. Chris, this Ruby Red, I love it. And so you made it with some malt from Valley Malt in Massachusetts, right?
Yes. With this whole Smash Brew project for New York Beer Week, all the participating brewers in the guild basically voted on a selection of malts from Valley Malt to select three different malts and then three different hops as well. And so everybody made a beer of any given style with the basic ingredients. But the malts that were selected from Valley Malt were pale malt, a Vienna malt, and what they call Danko Amber Rye. It's a dark roasted rye. I actually kind of by default cheated a little bit. I went out of the box because I also used some regular malted rye from Valley Malt as well. But that
you
was
cheated,
just,
Chris?
Yeah. It was,
at least you told us.
It was a result of lack of availability. So, you know,
if you cheat and you tell, it's okay.
Well, I used four different malts instead of three. So, you know, everybody was supposed to only use three.
It's a nice beer. Yeah.
It's really nice.
Is Andrea on the line? Not yet. She's coming on soon. But let's talk about this beer. What do you think? It's nice. It's a little hoppy. It's Ruby Red.
Yeah, I put a fair amount of hops in there, but the New York State hops tend to be, they're not as assertive as the hops growing up in the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
I think maybe in time as they develop and maybe as farmers learn different techniques about how to treat their soil and whatnot, maybe it'll come along better. But thus far, I've been growing hops myself for many years up in upstate New York, and I like the unique and distinctive earthy character that you get from the hops that I use, but ultimately I've never really been impressed even with my own hops as far as the actual aromatics and the character. What impressed me was the kind of malty character that we're getting in this beer. It's like a very pleasant surprise. I went in a little apprehensive, not sure how the barley, how the malts were going to perform for me. Of course, even brewing a rye beer is a little stressful for any brewer because rye is a different grain to work with, a difficult grain to work with. You are at risk to have a stuck mash if you work with percentages greater than 20%, and even 20% can be very problematic. It can make for a very long brew day.
It gets intense. Chris, I want to call it One Mile House at the Mile End.
Mile End, yeah.
Did you get any of these smash beers in at all during beer?
Well, we don't have a draft system, unfortunately, but I was at Brewer's Choice this year, which was a blast.
And what do you think about Chris's Ruby Red?
I think it's delicious.
New York beer.
No, I think it's, I mean, especially talking about malt, I think I'm in full agreement about the quality.
I'll tell you, head over heels, my in 2015, my favorite beers that I drank in New York City were the smash beers, where they made all New York ingredients. Mm-hmm. So cheers to you guys.
Yeah.
You know, and Adamo, so I wanted to ask you this. So, you know, you're a maltster now, but one of your jobs is you're trying to sell malt to breweries.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that like? How do you do it? Because you're not just like, do you have a catalog?
No, I mean we're in the process of, you know, putting together a web page and all that fancy stuff. But at the end of the day, I mean, it comes down to the relationships that you develop with the breweries and understanding what products are going to fit in their wheelhouse.
But then how do you do it? Yeah, so like, are you calling people?
For me, it's door to door.
Yeah,
I'm not one for, you know, just a phone call. I'm driving all over New York State, you know, talking with people and understanding their product lines and how our products can help them, you know, in the end sell more beer.
All right. Hey, Andrea, how are you?
Good. How are you, Jimmy?
It's great to talk to you. We've been talking so much about malt this year, and thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. So tell us about your experience this year with the Smash Beers and the other beers for New York City Beer Week and New York City Brewer's Choice. I know you worked a lot with Kelly Taylor from Kelso and New York City Brewers Guild.
Yeah. So wait, the question was tell you a little bit about it?
Yeah, because it was a big jump this year, right? You had to provide a lot of malt from New York State.
Yeah, that was really fun because Kelly, you know, we reached out earlier in the fall and asked what kind of grains that we might have available that we could highlight at the Brewer's Choice. And so I, you know, was able to send a list of, you know, where the grain, the farms that the grain came from, the type of grain, and then come up with, you know, maybe a list of around, I think, 10 or 11 malts that we could make. And then the guild selected 4 out of those, and those were the 4 that we focused on for the Brewer's Choice event. So it was really fun.
Great. Well, it's nice having you on. We got.
Remember, I had a lot of fun tasting them too. That
yeah, Chris Sheehan from Gun Hill Brewing in the Bronx. Here, we just tasted his smash beer that he made.
Right. It was Ruby Rye. It was used a fair amount of the Danko amber rye, as well as the, you know, half of the pale malts were Vienna malts. So it has a really nice deep ruby red color, and it came out with a really nice malty profile. I'm very pleased with how the grains perform for me.
Awesome.
All right. You sound like you're really busy, Andrew. But just tell us, just recap for you, like, what it's been like the last year, you know, what you guys are doing with your malt facility. Type of breweries that you're selling to?
At Valley Malt?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we just got our roaster up and running, which is pretty exciting. That was about 2 weeks ago that we finally got that project off the ground. Been, you know, kind of a year of jumping through hoops. And so now we're making a lot of roasted specialty malts, like the Danko, Amber Rye, and some chocolate rye. I was just playing around this past week. I've been interested in making naturally acidulated rye and playing around with then doing some additional roasting to it. So it's kind of got a dark chocolate character, but then sort of a tangy acidulated flavor kind of in the back of your mouth. So I'm kind of just Chris and I both are experimenting with the roaster. We're having a lot of fun with it. And we bought a program to be able to, like coffee roasters have, where once you find your profile of what you like to do for a particular type of malt, then you can kind of follow this computer program. And each time that you're making that roast, you can hit your temperatures that you want. So it's definitely given us more creativity. and we're excited about that.
And then what are some of the breweries that you're selling regularly to?
Well, we've been shipping a lot to Brooklyn Brewery lately. The Green Market Wheat that they came out with almost 2 years ago now has been doing really well as a year-round beer. So we're shipping them a lot of malt and working with Kelly Taylor on an exciting project with Don Lewis from Wild Hive Green Project, trying to do more with some New York State, both the barley, but then also some of the ancient grains. You know, June Russell through the Green Market Project has done a lot with the ancient grains, and so we're trying to get those into some beers at Kelso. So that's kind of exciting. And then, yeah, just working with a lot of, you know, of the new farm breweries. I mean, Good Nature has been around for a while, and they're fantastic, but we've got Green Wolf and a lot of, you know, Rare Form and Argyle Brewing. So a lot of the farm breweries too are looking to, you know, obviously for the New York State malts comply with their license.
That's great, Andrew. We also have Adamo from Pioneer Malting up in Rochester here with us.
How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Yeah. I'm not too bad.
Do you guys know each other?
We've never met in person, but I know Andrea via email.
Yeah, so, we know each other, and I know Adam, right?
Yes.
Is Adam one of your partners? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No. Yeah, I'm Adam, and then my partner would be Paul, and we have another mutual partner, Andy.
Okay.
Yeah. Question for you. What's your experience been with the farm brewery license, and what's the feedback that you've been receiving from breweries that actually have that license solely?
I mean, feedback is mostly that they need more malt, and it's just hard to meet that need right now. But more recently, I think the feedback, which I think is great, is that they're looking for more information from us. You know, they're looking for malt analysis, and, you know, they want to know more about the barley and the different grains that they're using. So it's great because it kind of opens up a whole new conversation and, you know, really makes sure that, you know, they're not just getting a local New York State product, but that they're also getting something that, you know, they know has the quality that they need for brewing with. So that's been a great conversation lately to have, and so we've started to, you know, put malt analysis sheets with our out with orders, and you know, it's good. It's kind of one of those conversations that eventually had to happen.
Sure. Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Andrew. And then Christian's here from Gunhill. Chris, is that an issue for you? Is you want analysis? Is it quality of the product?
Yeah, well, quality is something that has held me back a little bit initially. First of all, you know, from our perspective, being an upstart business, you know, for me it was really important to hit the gates with quality out front, and I wasn't really willing to go into experimentation with malts that I had no familiarity with. And so, you know, I kind of held back when we first started out as far as, you know, the New York malts are concerned. We did work with some New York hops, but, you know, now that we're established, we have a good rhythm, and it also really helped this whole experience. Even doing this smash beer, the Valley malts were very impressive. Additionally, I did actually get a 10-pound sample of malt from Flower City Malting, also in the Rochester area. Mm-hmm. And I had one of our bartenders at Gunhill is a home brewer, and I had him brew a batch of beer with that. And it came out really nice. It's got really nice malt character. I told him, and all he did is put just a little bit of bittering malt in there. I mean, a bittering hops, but no hop character at all. It's just about showing the malts. The beer came out really nice. So I'm very optimistic and feel very confident working with the New York malts. And I'm definitely going to be ordering more and incorporating it into everything that I'm doing. I definitely plan on working much more aggressively with incorporating it, even if I just am throwing a few sacks into some of my regular beers because I don't want to really augment or change them too much. I want to kind of keep them as they are, but I definitely am going to be doing more seasonal specialties that will be made exclusively with
Red Rye you made with the Valley Malt was really great, Chris. Hey, guys, this is awesome. Andrea, thanks for coming on. We're taking a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Okay. Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio. That was the coolest little riff, Jack. Thank you. I really like the music that you're playing on Heritage Radio Network. We got a great show here. We're talking about malt, New York State malt. Chris Sheehan, brewer from Gun Hill. Chris Baller from Mile End. I want to say the Mile End. Adam, who's from Pioneer Malting, one of the new malt facilities upstate. So, Adam, you made a beer. You sent malt to Transmitter, which is in Long Island City, and we're drinking that beer now. So you and Chris, tell us about this beer because it's pretty good. It's like a wheat saison or something.
It's an oat crissette, which is essentially our pale two row base malt and our malted oat product, and some New York State hops.
Really tasty.
Nice. Chris Bell at Mile End. So you don't have draft, but you have bottles.
Yes. So Transmitter's actually been amazing. Because we have limitations in that we just couldn't install a draft system without just messing everything up. But you know, these new breweries that are bottling, it's like a new excellent trend locally. It's, you know, been a real, it's just been amazing because we can serve local beer. And especially from Transmitter, you know, dealing with this style, they basically everything they do is a farmhouse, saison, rustic sort of thing. Bottle condition and all that. So, I mean, their beers taste best in bottles. And so this is, I'm right up there. And it's nice to taste it again. I had this at Brewer's Choice. But yeah, I don't know. I love the...
Describe the flavor profile.
I mean, so it's a little zingy, tart, lemony aspect to, like, from, I assume, yeast and hops. But that great kind of biscuity character of the two-row. That pale two-row barley and the oats, you know, oats are like long since used for a kind of a creamy mouthfeel, mm-hmm. head retention, all that. And so you definitely get that as well.
I would also like to point out the very pale color.
Extremely pale. Yeah.
What we did for Anthony on this one is we, this is where I was going with the malt-to-order system, is he was looking for something very pale, very lightly
right.
Roasted.
You achieved it.
Oh, yeah. Now this is, yeah, it really
so you,
gets
you
the...
catch those grassy undertones, yeah. And, but it still has a nice, sweet, malty taste to it.
Yeah, I mean, Grisette was, you know, it's, that's sort of like a, not, I mean, you don't see that style really, I mean, it wasn't really much of a style to begin with, I feel like, in Belgium. I mean, the history of it is mysterious, but it's supposed to be like...
Yeah, what is Grisette?
I mean, it's like... It means like little gray, so to speak, in French. But it was a beer possibly served to coal miners in Wallonia in like, you know, the 18th century. But I guess it was another table beer, but a regional style, and probably very low in alcohol, like all those things were, and probably very hazy, probably brewed with barley that wasn't kilned very much, you know.
Yep.
So... I mean, this color is extremely accurate, I feel like. But Anthony's like, I mean, he's amazing in that he's such an obsessive with everything, but I feel like he's
a Transmitter.
I love rapping with him on history, and I feel like he kind of nailed it for that in a way that some, you know, people like brewing a style that sounds different just because it's, you know, nobody knows what it is, but I feel like this is a real tribute to that.
But let's jump from there. So this is like a lightly kilned barley.
Yeah.
But what's the difference between, I've heard in some wheat beers, they're using unmalted wheat. So what's how do you make a beer that with unmalted wheat?
Well, for one thing, unmalted wheat, wheat is a very high protein grain to begin with. And one of the benefits of malting is that it kind of breaks down the proteins a little bit as well, you know, in the malting process, as you know, Chris. It also not only is breaking down the starches, but also breaking down the proteins. But there are many traditional Belgian ales that are made using unmalted wheat. And it, I think it's just it imparts a very distinctive astringency is what typically comes from using these unmalted wheats.
Yeah, Michael Jackson would say quenching.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, because it's, you know, you'd use it in a, you know, lambic and all that.
But because, I mean, this grisette, it's so, it almost tastes like there's wheat in there. And that partly because of it's so lightly kilned?
Yeah, exactly.
And what tell us more. This is fun. So you are doing specialty malts.
We are, absolutely.
Is there another beer? Tell us about this next beer you brought. So obviously there's something special about this beer because you brought it.
This one's outstanding. This is brewed by Dan Western up at Lostboro Brewing Company right in Rochester, New York. This is a smash with which features our malt, which is 75%. Of our
so base. This smash term has really caught on now in New York State. It's the state malt and state hop beers.
It is.
People are doing them.
They're doing them, and they're
doing cheers to you guys. That's a huge accomplishment in only 1 year.
That's exactly my point.
You guys are,
you know, there's a big, you know, a learning curve that's taking place, and we're pushing through it pretty quickly. This one features 75% base malt or pale malt, and then a lightly roasted malt and. And then it's 100% of a local hop grower who's right down the road from where we are. So it's
so that's Chris. So Chris, so for a facility that Adam's talking about, Pioneer, what size batches can you make using his product? I mean, is it
30 barrel?
30 barrel.
Yep. One pallet of malt would make me a big beer on a 30 barrel system.
And as you're talking to him, are there certain malts you're thinking of buying, or do you have to?
I would have to have
a
more extended conversation with Chris regarding these things.
Yeah, but like you said, you might do something like with a home brewer might brew a small batch of it, and
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
you know, I have all sorts of different ideas that I plan on working down the road for different seasonals and specialties.
That Ruby Red was great. Are you going to make that again? Would it be for sale from Gun Hill?
Well, probably not. That was actually only a 13-barrel batch in my 30-barrel system, just because I could only get so much of the malt to make that thing happen. So I was prepared to make more. I was planning on a 15-barrel batch, but there were some kind of logistical complications as far as acquiring the, you know, as far as me getting all the malts that I was looking for. In any case, it's a long story, but I was able to work with what I got, went and was able to put that out. You know, basically, my original concept, what I was targeting was rye wine. I was initially planning on having a lot more grain, and I was going to do a rye wine, but because I had a lot less grain, I wound up just kind of...
I like what you made, just so you know.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, sometimes you just you have a vision of what you want to do, and then you wind up with what you get, and you just kind of make do with what you got.
That was a great one, man.
Yeah.
That was great. And then one thing I love about this show is that there's always a brewery I've never heard of. So this is what? Lostboro?
Lostboro,
Rochester,
Brewing.
New York.
Yep.
And then tell us about what grains went into this beer again, because I'm liking it. It's good.
It's a good, very good beer. It's 75% of our base pale malt, and then 25% of a roasted malt. a roasted, toasted malt is actually what you would refer to it mm-hmm. as. And it features a locally grown Chinook hop. So the Chinook hop is used for all three phases of the brewing process.
Yeah, the Chinooks show nicely in it. It's got really nice hop character.
Yeah. And he did a very nice job with it.
Yeah.
Chris from Mile End. I keep wanting to say something else. Chris Ball, what do you think of this beer?
I like it.
Me too.
I mean, I think I like how we keep going back to how these state grains are of a certain quality and the hops maybe less so. And that's, I feel like that's definitely my feeling on it. And I'm
not the only one who says that. I've heard other brewers.
No, I mean, but I think that's just natural. But I mean, I know a little bit about the history of New York State and growing, you know, both hops and grain, but I feel like, you know, the beers that were made, you know, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, were like extremely simple and probably had an English style hop, you know, that could withstand this environment. You know, it's so different from the Pacific Northwest. So I feel like people growing these hops, you know, not to move the conversation to hops, but, you know, I feel like it's sort of a dead end to try to replicate the quality of hops that are found in the Pacific Northwest.
Right. From my experience of growing hops, though, I will say, actually, the English hops are the ones that don't do well.
Oh, really?
They appear to be
My ignorance, but yeah.
Yeah. I've grown Fuggles, and I've seen other places where they're growing Nuggets, and they don't thrive very well. They are very susceptible to blight and seem to not thrive. Cascades, Chinooks, all the American varieties, I mean, the American bred varieties do seem to thrive and succeed. They grow really well, but the character that is shown with the mature product is very different from what you get from the Pacific Northwest. Right. Some people refer to it as a terroir. It's a different
absolutely
character going on there. But then again, here we are. We're supposed to be talking about malt.
But yeah, I mean, like, but with malt, you know, New York State grains, I'm so curious, and I really want to learn more about the history of growing barley in New York. And
that's a good question. I mean, I know, Adam, you sat on the Governor's Council working group. What is the current thoughts about growing barley and other grains in New York State?
Well, I think, one, it can be done. We can grow some really good grains in New York State.
Genesee Brewery used to have a malting facility of its own.
Absolutely, right in Rochester.
Yep.
And I think it's important to understand that, you know, like I said, it's only for us, it's year two or year three of our growing process. But we can grow two-row barley here. We can grow six-row barley here. I think we all know that. It comes down to our farmers understanding their soil conditions, understanding the positioning of the field, and it's, to be honest with you, it's a little bit less about the variety of barley as it is truly understanding your soil conditions and understanding how to harvest the grain itself. We're not, you know, we don't have the luxury of having the ideal climate, dry, cold climate that they have in Canada. So a lot of times these farmers have to go through some pretty extensive processes. They have to pick the barley a lot of times with too much moisture in it, and then it has to be dried separately. And then there's the storage issues in order to maintain the barley and store it for an extended period of time so that it does maintain its germination quality. It's a task, but what we're showing is that we can do it.
Yeah. And, well, Mother Nature is always the ultimate decider. Yeah. That's,
it is.
You're at the mercy of the winds.
Absolutely. And so for us, it's a more of a diversification thing. So we need to make sure that we have our farmers strategically placed throughout New York State so that if Western New York State gets wiped out, you know, maybe we've got another farmer in another location who was able to succeed in growing this crop.
Yep.
So.
All right, guys. Let's wrap it up. Chris, just sum it up, what your thoughts are about New York State malts right now.
I'm really impressed and looking forward to incorporating more New York malts in all of my products as I go forward from this point. I mean, we just celebrated our year anniversary, so for the first year, I kind of held back a little because I just wanted to make sure we establish ourselves and, you know, get a name out there. and we've been successful in
and
doing so.
You went to GABF. You won a prize for your Avoid Lights, Foreign Stout. Yep.
Yep. And so, you know, things are going swimmingly well, and at this point, I'm prepared to take that next step.
That's great. And Chris over at The Mile End. Mm-hmm. What's screwing me up with that name?
Yeah, that's all right.
It's the word. Because I'm thinking smoked brisket.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you Montreal style, some of the best meat in New York City.
It's delicious.
Mile End Deli. I love it.
Yeah.
And that's why it's always funny whenever I see you. I never think about talking about beer with you.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, I have a very unique job, I guess. But yeah, just to talk about, I don't know. I'm very excited about this trend of using.
I think we're going
to
go there after this. We're going to go and have some smoked meats. Yeah,
do it. I'll let them know.
And what are the locations of Mile End right now?
We're in Borum Hill,
Brooklyn.
Yeah, Borum Hill, Brooklyn, at Hoyt Street and Atlantic Avenue, and then we're in Manhattan on Bond Street between Bowery and Lafayette. Yeah, and I do the beers at both locations, so you can eat delicious smoked cured brisket and drink something cool.
And you brought some stuff that we didn't get to try.
Yeah, but we'll get to it. Yeah, I brought a couple of classic, you know, I brought the Schlenkerla Fastenbeer, which is their Lenten
That's a smoke malt.
Lager. Yeah, a little blend of, I don't know, I was just thinking malt, and I'm so into this beer right now, and then an old bottle of Harvey's Christmas Ale, which is a English stock ale, like one of my favorite styles for malt. So,
you know, how about you, Chris? Are you going to be smoking any malt?
We are. We're building a smoker as we speak.
Oh, sweet.
One thing for me, like I said, when it's hops, people have a lot to say, but it every time we do a malt show, I think we're getting better at it. But like I said, I put it on Facebook yesterday, I asked people for, and I don't know if it made sense, an iconic malt profile beer. And I guess we've tried some of them, you know, like a Martin beer or even a smoked beer.
A Doppelbock. Yeah.
And what about for you, Adam?
We have another local brewer right in Rochester that just opened up, Swiftwater Brewing Company, who does an old ale with New York State grains, and it is
old ales, Scotch ales, is
all the malt
good one
you could ever want in a beer. You'll get it in an old ale. So very nicely done by Swiftwater.
All right,
as well.
Thanks for bringing in the beers. And so this is the Lost Borough,
Brewing
from
Company.
Rochester. That's a great one. I'm really enjoying this one too. So everybody, thanks for coming on the show tonight. We had a great one with thanks to our sponsor, Union Beer Distributors. And we've got a lot going on in New York City coming up. And stay tuned. I'm Jimmy Carboni of Beer Assassins Radio. It's Tuesday, March 24th. Thanks so much. And thanks to our producers, Maggie Seid and Justin Kennedy, and our engineer, Jack Kinsey. We'll see you next time on Beer Assassins Radio. All right.
All right. Woo!
Thanks. Woo!
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.